D-E-A-T-H. What does that spell? Death, 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 death.
Well, live from World Springs in the Colony, the largest outdoor wellness attraction in the United States, we try to induct someone into that three-bedroom apartment in the sky. And DJ, I believe we have an empty room, do we not?
Incorrect, Cobra. We are working on room 503, currently occupied by George Wendt.
That's right. We've got one human being in there, George Wendt.
Okay.
Today we try to induct James Stephen Irsay, a.k.a.
Jim
Irsay, the sole owner of the Indianapolis Colts. And what a wild-ass ride this guy had for 65 years. Before he checked out, he had many, many health issues, which we'll get into. But dead at the age of 65, his father, of course, had one of the strangest purchases of a sports franchise that anybody could ever document. Remember, he bought the Rams and for $19 million and traded the Rams for the Colts.
That's right.
Swapped franchises.
With Frontieri?
Rosenblum.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't she the widow?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And
Senator Ham.
And yes. And so then he becomes owner of the Baltimore Colts, Robert Irsay. Jim was born in 1959, grows up an athlete, goes to college to play football at?
SMU.
A pony.
In fact, in the prime of the ponies, yeah?
1980, yeah. Yeah, he was there when they were winning. Now, I think his career ended before it got really, really good.
I was going to say, it sounds a little like my college basketball career.
Yeah.
Walk on, didn't really play, and there's really probably not much record of my impact on the program.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of us out there.
But he did finish his degree at SMU in broadcast journalism, and he moves back up to Baltimore in the early 80s, and his dad hires him immediately to do odd jobs in and around the facility. And then, of course, everything changed when, in the middle of the night, his father moved the Colts to Indianapolis. And as Jim tells the story, he's like, I'll let you know when the moving trucks are coming up the hill. As he's just sitting there waiting on the phone call to get everybody moving because they didn't want anybody to see the boxes being moved out.
Yeah, and the famous shots of those Mayflower moving trucks all in a row.
Yep.
Taking the Colts out of Baltimore.
Yep. So his dad had a stroke in 1995, and immediately, with his dad incapacitated, he became general manager and COO.
Well, hold on. I just want to step in here and say he was general manager.
Oh, as a kid.
12 years prior to that.
Yeah.
He was like a 24-year-old general manager of his dad's team.
And his dad said
do you think the players were really
impressed
with your son who just got out of college is now the general manager?
His dad said that he hired him to be general manager to save money.
Okay. Well, what better way to become beloved?
I mean, can you imagine that? And then he traded a third-round pick to Carolina for their general manager, Bill Polian. And Bill Polian then drafts Peyton Manning, and then everything changed for the Colts. And Jim Irsay, if he wasn't a household name by then, definitely became a household name with the success of the Colts over the next 10, 15 years, however long it lasted with the Super Bowl victory and all that. But all the while, Jim Irsay was a horrific alcoholic and drug addict and had issues left and right. His father was a terrible alcoholic, and I think the stroke that he died of was alcohol-related. His grandfather was a terrible alcoholic, so it ran in the family. And Jim had all sorts of issues through the years. And it kind of culminated with his DUI that he got about 10 years ago. And when he got the DUI, he told HBO inside the NFL, he told them that I was arrested and taken to jail because I am a rich white billionaire. And he stood by it forever. He says, I'm prejudiced against because I'm rich and white and a billionaire. And he said that he had just had hip surgery.
Like nobody, yeah, mark all that. Nobody feels sorry for the white billionaires
right.
getting a poor shake in life, you know?
He said that he had just had hip surgery and, you know, the things that he was asked to do, like the alphabet and walk in a straight line, were impossible. And that's the other thing. Why didn't he get a ride home from the hospital if he had just had hip surgery and was jacked up on Percocets and oxycodone and all that stuff? He was a big-time wild ride. He had women everywhere. I mean, anywhere and everywhere. And I believe at the same time in 2014, in that car, there was like $29,000 that he had in the car. Just kind of strewn about the car.
Yeah.
As one would have.
Right.
I mean, just...
That glove box doesn't fill itself.
Right. It's just so incredibly weird.
I have two other copy points, unless you're going to get to them.
Yeah, go on.
One, he famously hired Jeff Saturday off the ESPN set to be his coach mid-season.
Yeah.
Jeff Saturday had played for the Colts. But he was just doing ESPN commentary, and he's like, man, I need a coach. How would you like to be the head coach of the Colts? And the job starts right now, and you've got a game on Sunday. And it was...
disaster.
Just a disaster of the highest order. The other thing is, and this would be pretty cool if you're a billionaire, he bought Kurt Cobain's guitar from Smells Like Teen Spirit for like $5 million just because he felt like it.
Well... that's a good lead-in to the fact that this guy has the most extensive guitar collection probably of anyone on the planet.
Yeah.
Or had.
Is $5 million about as high as he goes?
No, I think the most expensive guitar he bought was David Gilmour's from Pink Floyd. I think that's the record. Cobain's is probably close, though. It may be the record.
Yeah, every notable musician, he owns some piece of memorabilia.
So, DJ sent me this. He owns Ringo Starr's Ludwig Oyster Black Pearl Downbeat Drum Set from 1963 in the Beatles. He owns the bass drum head the Beatles used on the Ed Sullivan Show. He owns George Harrison's 1964 Gibson Standard. He owns... owned.
No, you can take it with you, I hear.
Oh, really? They changed it?
No, they changed it.
He owns John Lennon's... Yeah,
Trump changed it, I believe.
John Lennon's Chet Atkins Gretsch. He owns Paul McCartney's handwritten lyrics for Maxwell's Silver Hammer. He owns the gold record of the Beatles, I Want to Hold Your Hand. He has the Beatles autographs on Cavern Club note pages, where they originally played. He owns Prince's 1995 Andy Beach custom Yellow Cloud, Bob Dylan's 64 Fender Stratocaster, Neil Sean from Journey's 77 Les Paul, Elton John's Steinway piano, Jimmy Page's guitar from Led Zeppelin, David Gilmour, I think this is his prized possession, the David Gilmour 1969 Martin. Les Paul literally owns Les Paul's Les Paul.
Wow.
He owns Eric Clapton's 1939 CF Martin, Johnny Cash's 1956 CF Martin, Kurt Cobain's 69 Fender Mustang, Janis Joplin's 53 Gibson, Don McLean of American Pie, his 69 Martin.
Did he have provisions in his will for what is going to happen to all this stuff?
Well, he's got three daughters that are going to get the team. I'm assuming they all get this too, because this is, I mean, his collection's got to be approaching $50 to $100 million.
Yeah,
it's so crazy. Jimi Hendrix's Fender 64. More Bob Dylan, Eric Clapton guitars, Dusty Hill from ZZ Top, his 1983 fur bass that was prominently featured in all those stupid videos that
Black
ZZ Top
Dog.
Made.
Yeah.
He owns everything, and I think that he would take it, like it kind of traveled. I know it was set up in a museum outside a Lucas Oil Field for a certain amount of time where you could go in and check it all out, but... he was incredibly proud of it and very open about it, too. Like, this was just what he did. He played in bands himself. But later on in life, his alcohol got the better of his body. And I think years and years of addiction just eventually wore him down. They haven't released a statement exactly what they think he died of, but 65 years old with billions and billions of dollars and no real cancer or anything in the system.
It's he died in his sleep.
Yeah.
And he died just hours after he tweeted about the Pacers.
That's
he did.
Yeah, and it's really hurting the average lifespan of the NFL billionaire owner, because 65 is extremely low end.
Very low end. Yeah.
Well, Jerry will cancel that out. He's going to live to 100.
Unbelievable.
Maybe 110. Yeah.
So Jim Irsay dead at the age of 65.
Stay hard, Jim.
Let's see. Lando?
He was also in an episode of Parks and Rec in which he looked extremely high. But, yes, he'll make a good roommate for George Wendt.
That's the other thing. When he was 45, he looked 75.
Dude, he looks 80 right. It's like last days he looked 80.
He looked terrible.
I can't believe he was 65.
I know. DJ?
He's in.
Jay?
His Twitter was amazing. Never has a man been more in for me.
Yeah, he's in.
Absolutely.